meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. It's good to be back. I got to turn this up here a little. There we go. Okay, how you doing? Hi,
welcome
Christina.
Welcome back, Father.
I think it's good to be back, kind of. You know, I had a really nice time. I was with my family.
That's wonderful.
My mother celebrated her 82nd birthday last week, so it was good to be there. We had a, you know, we just had nice celebrations almost every day. We had a turkey
family
dinner,
gatherings,
we had a barbecue and all that.
For
my mother.
For your mother.
I hope she's listening. It's nice. Very good. Thank you. Hey, by the way, that's for Lorenzo as well. He just celebrated.
That's right, Lorenzo.
The porter. He's the first person people see when they come into the church here at St. Stan's. Anyway, so how are you? Well, we're all by ourselves. Tony's on vacation and Geraldine
is... Jerry's listening. Oh, I want to congratulate Jerry because Germans won the World Cup.
Hey, that's right.
It was a great game, Father.
I didn't see it, but
it was very good.
Yeah.
I have to say, Germany, they're very disciplined.
Sure.
They're very strong. Argentina put up a good fight,
they
although
did.
They missed. Had a lot of, there were opportunities there that could have
yeah,
made
that's
a goal.
Yeah, that's so disheartening, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw some of the pictures afterwards, and
yes,
you could see the devastation.
Yes.
In the face of the Argentinians. Yeah.
Their goalie, anyway. I have to say, is very good.
Yeah.
But he's a very good goalie.
Kind of screwed up there, didn't he?
The German. Well, there was a question there.
Okay.
I'm part of the Germans, the goalie should have been a penalty. Many people think because he got Argentina could have had a goal right there.
Okay. All right.
Sort of got in the way, but.
Okay. I heard something. I haven't had a
that's
chance.
That's right. But it was a good game.
Anyway.
It was a very good game.
So that's over.
It's done.
It's been going on
so
for
the
a
Germany's
month.
Germany's the champion.
So that
the World
means.
Cup.
Pope Benedict is the victor
answer.
Here. Because there was this thing going on, you know, because Pope Francis is Argentinian. He's from Argentina. And Pope Benedict is from Germany. And so it was, I was reading somewhere about the competition there, you know.
Yeah, there were these images on the internet where they're
sure.
both, I believe that's the picture of when Pope Francis went to visit Pope Benedict.
Right. Sure.
In the Casa Gandolfo.
Exactly. Yes.
And so they're next to each other praying, and so they put this, that they're praying. One that had the Argentinian flag,
that's
Pope Francis, and they're praying, and
wow.
that's what's in their mind.
Oh, that's interesting. Anyway, well, congratulations to the Germans.
To the Germans.
You know, I also want to, before I forget, to thank Sister Alicia Torres and Mark Karowski, who sat in last week. I think each one took a show, and then
yes, that's right.
I think I guess we had some repeats last week
that's
as well.
Right. Yes.
So anyway, got back Friday night. I was so sorry to hear that the healing mass was canceled, and I want to make mention of that to those who may have come and found that there was no healing mass. But it was completely out of our control.
Yeah,
we had evidently the day before,
it was canceled.
Wednesday, the Archdiocese canceled the mass, and we had already received because we went through our proper proper procedure
sure.
and all that, and we have the letter to prove it from the Archdiocese, from the office of the Archbishop, approving the mass and the healing service and all that. But evidently, there was some issues on the other side.
That's
on the other side.
Up,
that's
so.
what I understand. So these days the Church is almost scrupulous about that everything is. Legit,
mm-hmm.
everything is legitimate, that there's no cause for any kind of concern. They want to make sure that everything, I don't know if people understand, but when a priest goes into another diocese. He can't just celebrate the sacraments. No. He can't celebrate Mass. He has to have a proper documentation, and he has to have the approval of the ordinary, the bishop of the given diocese. So they have to make sure that there's no, because there are those, there are renegade priests here and there, people out there doing their own thing. And so there are no faculties. A priest has no faculties when he's in another diocese unless he gets, unless he receives the faculties from the bishop. So there's a dialogue that goes on between, let's say, the Archdiocese of Chicago and his diocese, right?
That's right.
In the Philippines, wherever. So, but it was unfortunate because we had a lot of people coming from out of town, from Canada, even as far away as Canada. And it wasn't only here, but it was also another
parish. It was also canceled at St. Eulalia and Maywood. So it wasn't just St. Stan's.
Right.
It was St. Eulalia.
So that was a, but a completely, totally out of our control.
Yes.
And we had, as I said, followed the proper procedure. We had the letter from the Archdiocese, because we wouldn't have even announced it until we had the approval.
That's right.
And so whatever happened the day before, something didn't come through. So anyway, so our apologies.
We just have to be obedient to our superiors.
Obedience.
Obedience. That's what the saints always...
Obedience, that's right.
...emphasized obedience. And Father Suarez was very... He felt bad for the people.
Yeah, you met him. I
met
him.
Very nice, very humble priest. And his concern were the people that were traveling from afar. But he did mention and he did emphasize we must be obedient.
That's right. All right, Christina. So Tony's on his... Where is he? In,
he's in
California.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I hope he's having a good time. And he's going to be back when?
I don't know if he might be back Friday.
So
as far as the trip Thursday, but obviously he's not going to be in the studio on Thursday.
All right. All right. And you're doing fine. You had a good week last week. It was nice when I'm not here, isn't it? Kind of quiet.
It was a little, it was a little quiet, but and on the other hand, it wasn't because we were anticipating the healing mass with Father Suarez,
right,
and then this came up, so the phone was ringing off the hook.
Exactly.
Yes and no.
Yeah, but usually when I'm gone, it gives you a little bit of a break too, you know, doesn't it?
Yes, I was able to do a lot of work that I'm not able to do when you're here because it's busy.
Exactly. Very good. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Last week was kind of quiet because I was doing the rebroadcast, and I'm just getting used to my new car too.
What did you get?
2012 Chevy Cruze, and
nice.
So it's going, it's still pretty, it's still getting used to everything. I'm reading the manual and learning stuff as I drive. Still nervous driving out there because, you know, I get jumpy on the Eisenhower a little bit. So I'm still a little shaky about that, but I'm getting better, but just keeping an eye on things. But still, it's fun. The car is nice. It's good for traveling, too.
Good.
A lot of good features, too, that will probably come in handy. So
good.
I'm doing okay.
Good. I'm happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today is a feast of... Saint Kateri Tekakwitha. I love her story. It's a remember that story from last year?
She's Native American.
She's a Native American, an Indian, and well, let's just talk a little bit about her. I want to talk about Kateri Tekakwitha because I just like her story, and also there's an interesting article I was reading the other day about the popularity of Pope Francis. Just looking at and evaluating the popularity of Pope Francis and what does that say about him and about the people as well. Also, I came across another article, and it's kind of related, but it's vocation crisis to the priesthood is over, that there's not a vocation crisis today to the priesthood, and we'll look at that as well. But let me just kind of start with Kateri Tekakwitha. Do you remember her story? She was
a little bit. Wasn't she a convert?
She was. Yeah, I guess you could say that she was.
Suffered a lot too.
She did. She was. In fact, it kind of ties right into the gospel reading today, where Jesus says, "You know, don't think that I've come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace but the sword." He doesn't mean literally the sword, but he says, "I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household." In other words, what does that mean, that he comes to bring not peace but division, because that would be the antithesis of who he is. He's a prince of peace. Mm-hmm. But the point is that if we come to accept and surrender our lives to the Lord, and that means that we're disposed then for this transformation to happen in our lives, then we can become a source of division for others, because our lives should, by the very nature of our lives lived in Christ, should call others to the truth of who they are. Because when we talk about life in Jesus, in God, it means life lived in truth, and that means a dying to all that is untrue or all that is false, dying to the old man, rising to the new. So it's the beginning, the whole process of a purification, a transformation, and the sanctification of our lives, which is really the work of a lifetime, but it should call others out of complacency or out of any kind of a posture of indifference or mm-hmm. any kind of lukewarmness or even a kind of, let's say, if people are living a godless life, doing godless things, then, you know, it's what do we say? Don't rain on the parade, right? Mm-hmm. You're a thorn in my side. You become my conscience. And the church, by her very nature, and to the extent that she lives with in authenticity, her life in Christ, that means, and that really depends on all of us. That's why we thank God for the lives of the saints, because we can go back into history and we read the lives of the saints, and we can assess what it was for them at their time and how they were, in essence, the leaven, the salt, and the light in the world's darkness in their own time. And so we look at ourselves and we see our own defects and our own, what would you say, idiosyncrasies and our own deviations from truth. You know, this battle that is raging within us, and to varying degrees, this battle between light and darkness. And that's why we got to always look to the light and always, look to God, because mm-hmm. God is light, God is life. But this is a process, the purification, the transformation, the sanctification. What it is, it's really a maturing. It's becoming truly who we were created to be, created in the image and the likeness of God. And so if we seek to live with authenticity, that life in Christ, and to the extent that the church lives with authenticity, and when I say the church, I mean the church and her members, because the teaching is rather pure, always deepening. We deepen to understand what it is we believe. So there's always this kind of, could you call it a progression or an evolution or a deepening of our understanding of the faith. But in her members, for that to incarnate itself in the lives of her members, that's all those who are baptized, to the extent that the members of the church, of the mystical body of Christ, to the extent that we live with authenticity our faith, then the church becomes truly not only a light in the darkness, but becomes the conscience of the people, a thorn in the side, so to speak, of the society, because it's always there to call society, to call people, to call nations to the truth of who we are as a people of God. So anyway, that will then in and of itself create division, because there can be an outright repudiation or rejection of the truth as we've received it and as we try to live it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. So anyway, this gospel today from Matthew's gospel, that Jesus says, I come not to bring peace, but to bring division, that one's enemies will be those of his own household. And he goes on to say, whoever loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So you got to die to all things that are not of God. Again, it's a work of a lifetime. So in the life of Kateri Tekakwitha, we see this reality played out in her own life. She was a Native American, an Indian, born in 1656, and was born of her mother was Algonquin, she was an Algonquin. Her mother was a Christian, and really the mother's faith, her Christianity, her Catholicism, was the fruit of the work of the martyrs, the Jesuit martyrs, Saint Isaac Jogues and company. And the mother was captured by the Mohawks and given to the chief as his wife. And so Kateri was the first child and had a brother. And at the age of four, tragically, all the family died. The chief of the Mohawks, her father, her mother, and her little brother all died from smallpox. And it left Kateri...
Did she have a physical...
She was afflicted as... Yes, okay. She was afflicted with smallpox as well. She didn't die, but it left her severely scarred.
Her face.
And her eyes were damaged. Mm-hmm. Her face, her whole body was scarred. And her eyes were damaged so that she was... couldn't see well. And that's where she got the name. That's where they gave her the name Tekakwitha, which means she who stumbles into things. Because she was always always stumbling into things. So they gave her the name Tekakwitha. So we're going to take a break, come back, and continue with her life story, because it really is beautiful. It's fascinating. And understand where she gets the name Kateri. What does Kateri mean? Kateri Tekakwitha. But we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Dance with me. I want to be a
partner. Can't you see? You're invited to St. Stan's Restoration Dinner Dance, held on Friday, July 18th at 7 p.m. at the Chateau Ritz, 9100 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. This exciting event will support the continuing restoration of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, home for Catholics of Chicago since 1867. Open 24 hours for prayer and celebrating the Mass in three languages, St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. For complete details and to purchase tickets online, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Join us for St. Stan's Restoration Dinner Dance, Friday, July 18th at 7 p.m. at the Chateau Ritz, 9100 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. For the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's two blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us, as always. And it's good to be back in Chicago. You know, it took me longer to get from O'Hare Airport to the rectory than from Atlanta to Chicago. Can you believe that? Because I came in, it was rough hour.
Yes, especially rush hour. It was a rough hour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But especially on a Friday. It's very heavy.
It was amazing. And I probably should, in fact, you know, the cab driver gave me some advice. And I could take the train, the L. It's just then having to walk. I don't mind the walk, but it's...
You would get stuck.
I get stuck because I know everybody on the avenue,
sure.
You know. And so you kind of want to quietly come back and re-engage. And so for that reason, I take a cab. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to ask anybody to pick me up because you never know if the flight's going to be on time and all that kind of stuff.
Considering the weather.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and I always get these good cab drivers, but he was, and for the life of me, I can't remember how to pronounce the country, but it's Eritrea.
Which country was
near
that?
Near Ethiopia. It's part of
Africa.
It was at one time. It was part of Ethiopia, and a very nice guy. He was a teacher in what is it? Eritrea. I think it's Eritrea. It's a little tiny country, but I asked him because I knew he was from it was Ethiopian or from that that country that I can't name. I think they regained their independence only within the last 20 years or so. But sure enough, he was from there, and he was a teacher, but a Catholic. He was raised with the Kamboni missionaries.
That's interesting. We had Father this weekend.
We had the mission past week.
Mission priest from the Kambonis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so he was raised with the Combonis. He was educated by the Comboni missionary. So it was kind of nice. So we had this nice conversation all the way back from the airport. But he said, you know, next time, he says, what to do this? He said, take the train, let's say to Damon, mm-hmm. and then catch a cab from Damon to the parish, and I'd be paying less.
Well, that's interesting.
It is okay. interesting because
so
I don't
that was
mind.
Nice of
I
him.
Don't mind taking the train at all. Uh-huh. It's just you know having to walk the avenue.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Anyway, so
yeah, but taking the train is a lot of fun. I like doing that.
I do too. I've always in the past I always took the train.
Me too. Just,
yeah. So
it seemed easier, and also I don't mind walking to places.
Right.
Because it's fun to walk out here.
Well, can you
city.
Take the train from where you you're this? Where are you? What suburb?
Out in Westmont, I'm not so sure because every time I took the train, it would take me to Union Station. So yeah. I don't know if there's anything around here. So I got to figure that out. But yeah. I've been driving most of the time. So I don't know for sure.
Yeah, no, but you could. If you go to, there's buses and trains that come from Union right over here.
Maybe. I'll figure something out or see. But we'll see what happens.
Okay. Nick. Good. So Kateri, Tekakwitha. As I said, she was her mother was an Algonquin, a Christian. She was a Catholic, one of the few, but was this is the fruit of the work of the Jesuits who were martyred. It's a whole other story. In any case, she was raised. So while her mother was an Algonquin Indian, she was raised with the Mohawks. And after her mother and father died, and her brother, she was adopted by her uncle, who became now the chief of the Mohawks. But what's beautiful about her story is that she hadn't been baptized, but her mother, the faith of her mother, left such an impression on her that she never forgot it. So the mother, she describes how the mother taught her to make the sign of the cross and to see God in all things. And so she, you know, was kind of cleaving to that faith. It was very beautiful. It was just very, these are beautiful memories that she had. She was only 4 years old when her mother died. And what happened was the Mohawks, they blamed the white man for the death because they brought the disease of smallpox. And so they were very much opposed to her learning the faith from what they call the black robes. Those were the priests. And so they stood against that. And but she was persistent. She was consistent. Even before she was baptized, she would she was basically practicing the faith mm-hmm. of her mother, and the sign of the cross became very important to her. It was a prayer in and of itself, as it is, as we all mm-hmm. know, just a mere sign of the cross, marking your body with the sign of
very
the cross,
powerful.
Wrapping yourself in the life of the Holy Trinity. And so it wasn't until finally at the age of 20. That she was finally baptized and took the name Kateri, which means Catherine. She took as her patroness Catherine of Siena, St. Catherine of Siena. And so in essence, she named herself, you know, took this name Kateri, which is Catherine. And she called herself a Christian, an Algonquin, and an Indian. And whereas parents normally pick the name, each of us have to say who we are, not so much what we do. And so in naming herself Kateri, she, as I said, identifies herself as a Christian, Algonquin, and an Indian. But she paid the price for her conversion. Because she converted, because she was baptized, her family rejected her. And they treated her like a slave, mm-hmm. and they even tried to ruin her reputation because she had a very powerful, very wonderful reputation. She was very considerate of others and, basically putting sure. into practice the corporal works of mercy. And so what she did is she traveled. If you can imagine, you think about this, you know, in those days you hear all these stories about how these people heroically and courageously and just the passion that was in them. She walked 300 miles. To Montreal and to the mission of St. Francis Xavier to the Jesuits, and it was there that she was received into the mission, received her first Holy Communion. Well, she was baptized on Easter Sunday. This is interesting. So in 1676, at the age of 20, she was baptized on Easter Sunday. This was very significant, very important to her. And then she made her first Holy Communion a year later on Christmas Day, and she describes this as the greatest gift, that there could be no greater gift on Christmas than to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And so when she got to the mission, she wanted to join a convent, but the priests thought she was too young, even though she was at that point 21 years old. They thought she was too young, and she couldn't read or write. And so what she did is she dedicated herself to serving Jesus in the sick and the old. Those were the two people she focused her attention on, the sick, the infirmed, and the old people, the elderly people. And they couldn't read or write either, so she felt, you know, she was in a good company. Mm-hmm. And but what really impressed me, I don't know if you remember last year we talked about this, but she used to steal away to the forest alone. You know, she used to go into the forest alone. She had a special place that she kind of created, her own little chapel in the middle of the forest, and she cut a cross into the bark of a tree, carved a cross into the bark of a tree, and she would sit there and lean against a tree, and she describes how she felt always the presence of God there, kneeling. And the animals just, I was thinking of St. Francis of Assisi, because the birds and the animals, they just...
They
seemed to be very comfortable with her presence there, you know. And so they kind of became part of the ambiance of her little chapel, as she calls it, an out-of-the-way chapel where she could breathe, you know. She says she could breathe and meditate. I think, I find that impressive because I think this is what we need, don't you think?
That's right.
I mean, I think we naturally need to create out-of-the-way spaces, don't you think?
Yeah, it's very important, Father, because... You know, life is so hard. We were just before the drudgery, the so difficult. Life is beautiful. God created created us with love, but life is so difficult. It's so hard, and you need that time, that little respite, just to be in His presence to rejuvenate and regenerize our. It's a gift from God.
I think for anybody who's who thinks seriously about life and who has that capacity to be alone, in a sense, you know, I mean, we're meant to be in communion, right? Mm-hmm. But we've got to, just like Jesus, He had to pull away. He was always going to the top of the mountain, into the desert, into the forest, into the woods, where He could just commune with God, so He could be alone with God. He would spend all night there.
And that's the problem today in our world. There's so much noise and people... run away. They need the noise because they have that fear of loneliness.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's where we find God. That's where we really find ourselves, is in that loneliness, that only He can fill that void.
It's where we learn to speak to the Lord from the very deep recesses of the soul, and not only to speak to Him, but to listen to him as well. You know, we were talking, as you said before the show, we were talking about how difficult life is. I got back on Friday, but it was very nice being with my family. My mother, as I said, turned 82, and it's so hard to see her. She's got real, with great difficulty, she walks now, and just to see her get out of her chair, the pain, the suffering, it's just so hard to see that. And you know, it's just like, this is where we come, you know, this is a life moves in one direction, and we're all moving in the same direction. I guess that's the one there's many consolations in this, but the one consolation is that we're all, you know, growing together. We're all, you know, getting older together, so to speak, for sure, right?
And that's important that we have one another. We have each other to carry. And we've said this so often.
Yeah. But even going back to this idea of this space, because we have to think about and process, I think, these realities of life, you know, the mystery of life, the questions, you know, who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? What is the purpose? What is the meaning of life? How do we survive? And I don't know about you, but I remember even as a kid, you know, I mentioned, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, because I had written this thing on a tribute to my father and to all fathers, and I spoke about how I had to do
the paper
route, and then also, you know,
mowing the grass,
doing lawns and all that in Florida. But that was also, because even though I would have preferred to be on the beach or doing other things with my friends, it forced me into that space where you're alone and you're working and you've got to think and process. But I remember also as a kid, I used to like to, as she describes, stealing away to the forest. We had before they started building houses all around our house, we had woods in the back of the house, and I used to like to go out there and just get lost in the woods and just, but truly, and I mean this in all honesty, but already as a child, I would I found that as sacred time and sacred space and a time to talk to God and to listen to God. Do you have that? Did you have that, or do you have that in your life?
I remember when we had the backyard.
Right.
We would go out there and explore. As children, I would explore although I'm not that great with insects, but it was fascinating. I found it interesting to see God's creation, the animals, and how they could read the signs and know
sure.
what was coming, if there was rain or whatever, or even knowing the time of the day. But I remember when I got older and we went to Mexico, and I stayed over at my aunt's house. And that was a time when I was so stressed out. I think that's
sure.
when you had your accident.
Right,
so many things were happening.
Right.
I had all this luggage,
as always.
All this baggage, and my cat had just passed away. It was just a lot of things. And so I went over there to visit my family, but it was also a time of healing for me.
Sure.
When I stayed at her place, it was away from the city, kind of in a rural area. And I remember going up to the top of the roof and just sitting there and just saying, Lord, here I am. You know,
yeah.
I accept everything that you've given me. I thank you for all the blessings and all the sufferings. I thank you for them as well. And I remember I was standing in front of the mountain, and it reminds me of Mount Sinai, where
sure.
God, and I was looking towards that mountain and the clouds. It was sort of a cloudy day, and I could see the clouds moving, and I could hear the air, the breeze, and the animals, the birds, and
sure.
it was just, I felt God's presence
sure,
there.
Sure.
I did, and
yeah.
I thanked him. And I have to say, I was healed from many things just through that experience.
Sure.
It was an encounter with Christ.
That's exactly why it's so important, because it's people don't realize, and that's why I say it takes, for some people, it takes a lot of courage, just a lot of courage to move away from people, to
mm-hmm.
move away from the noise, and to go into that desert, or again, it could be to the top of the mountain, but just to create the space.
Mm-hmm.
But that means to move into silence, and let that silence be a silence that is imbued with the very presence of God, because we discover so much about ourselves. And as you said, and I think this is the important thing, that perhaps the most important thing is that it puts us in a place where healing can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you know that, when you come to this realization, you know that you're not alone, and that God is with you, and God knows you. And it's not even that necessarily that God is going to take away the struggles, because
mm-hmm.
life is, it is what it is. There's no way around it. Life is struggle. And we can't be afraid of that. This is the reality. But we're on this, it's the adventure of life, the journey of life. And so we're beaten down, we're, as I say, we're not flying high, but we're in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
We're having to weather the storms. We're having to fight the good fight. You don't know from one day to the next what's going to come. You don't know, as I say so often, you know, the assault
yes.
or the attack to the mind or to the body or to the soul or to the spirit. And what's amazing is that we're all in this together.
Yes.
And while we need each other, we best serve each other to the extent that we're able to pull away from each other, right?
That's right.
Go into that sacred space, and as Jesus did, as
Kateri
Tikakwitha did, to commune with God, and that gives us the strength to re-engage,
mm-hmm.
to go back into the battle, so to speak. It's kind of
right.
like you come out of the battle, you get replenished
yes.
in order to be put back into the battle.
And you know, Father, and I forgot to mention that. I didn't even know what time it was. I just, when I was there, it was just like time was, it didn't even exist. And when I had finished speaking to the Lord and just being in that silence, there was a rooster and it started singing.
Oh, yeah, really?
And it sang
they
three times. It started, yeah, like, you know, it started the
sure.
rooster, yeah. Three times. I thought it was interesting. And I just happened to look at my watch and it was 3 o'clock.
Wow.
The hour of mercy. Yeah.
So how would you interpret that? What would that? What did that say?
The hour of mercy.
Sure, sure.
It made me think of many things. That's the hour that our Lord died on the cross, and thinking, you know, He's with me. I'm suffering. I'm just a little bit of getting a little taste of his passion. Of course, it's not never compared to what he went through. And the year rooster also made me think of St. Peter when he denied Christ. So many things came through my mind, you know.
Yeah, wow. You need to go back.
I need to go back.
Got to go back. No, you got to do that. We got to do that from time. But like even now, even here, and that's why we've got our doors open. You know, the church is open 24/7, precisely that we provide. This is, I think, one of the greatest, aside from the sacraments, and this is really an extension of the sacraments, you know, the Holy Eucharist and confession and all the sacraments, but most especially an extension, could you say a perpetuation of the Holy Eucharist. The doors are open so that people, one of the great gifts, I think, of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the parish, is that the doors are open.
That's right.
So the people can. We've created the space for you, you know, to come away from, you know, the struggles and from the hustle and the bustle and the noise of life, and to just find yourself in the presence of God so that you come to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Because even when Jesus says, you know, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So we think we know who we are. We think we know what we've got to do, but sometimes we have to lose that. And so in the presence of the Lord, it's just, we come to begin to put things in perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus, maybe this is not what I want of you. This is not what you're supposed to do. This is not who you are. But I'm going to show you what you should do and who you are. And what you're going to discover in me and through me is far greater and far more beautiful than what previously you thought you had thought you knew who you were. And so you're going to rediscover your life in me. And that's going to be freedom, and that's going to be joy, and that's going to be strength for the journey. Because the beautiful thing about this is it's eternal. It's eternal. And having said that, Kateri Tekakwitha, as I said, when she was 4 years old, she had smallpox. Mm-hmm. She didn't die. Her mother, her father, her brother died. She didn't. But she was afflicted with these scars all over her face and her body. And her eyes were distorted so that she couldn't see. That's where she got the name Tekakwitha.
Did she have a problem with the walking too?
I think so.
Because of the smallpox,
I think you're right.
Affected her walk, and so she suffered the problems walking. You mentioned your mom, and yet she just persevered and took care of the elderly and the sick.
Yeah, she kept on. She kept doing what she could do,
and she to the point where she even dragged herself in pain, but she just kept going.
And she died young, because she died at the age of 24. So only 4 years after her baptism.
Wow.
But the beautiful thing about her death, she died in 1680 at the age of 24, is that in death, the priest who was there as she died describes how her face changed, the scars in her face and her body disappeared. Everything disappeared. This unbelievable transformation, and it made me think of because on one hand, okay, we're created by God in my, you know, the full person. So when we talk about our share in the resurrection of Jesus at the end of our life, when we pass from this life into the next, when we die, but death is a kind of a definitive word, because it's a definitive death to this world. But it's, as Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him, so that every beautiful thing we see in this world, in this life, is only a mere reflection of the beauty and the good and the wonder that God is and what awaits us, so that the best is always yet to come. And so even as we make our way through this life, you know, we pass from, you know, there's this kind of progression, you know, and then we reach a peak, which is probably what, in our late 20s or 30s, and then we began a slow and sometimes a rather rapid decline. The body begins to die. The body gets old. But in the moment of our passing from this life to the next, everything the world has taken away from us, God gives back to us. This is really the good news of the gospel. And so we talk about the full, if we talk about purification, transformation, sanctification. It's the becoming. Sanctification is mm-hmm. holiness of life, yeah. but it's not just the soul, but it's the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. It's the fullness of who mm-hmm. we are as human beings. And so all this will come to perfection in Jesus risen from the dead, our sharing in the resurrection of Christ. But to attain to that, we have to certainly live the faith and nurture our relationship with God. And even if we say, well, but my faith is so small, you know, help me, Lord, with my lack of faith, that thank God Jesus says, you know, if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it can move a mountain. In other words, it's not that we have to, we don't need, what should I say, we got to be true to who we are mm-hmm. before God, right? So it's not like we have to be, we're not going to be flying high, mm-hmm. you know, we got to, as
or
I say,
pretend to be someone we're not, because he knows us.
He knows us. And so that's what I've said how many times when we come before God in prayer, we get to say, this is who I am. This is how I come to you today. This is what's going on in my head. This is what's going on in my heart. This is what's happening in my body. This is what's happening in my soul. This is what you've got to work with. This is what you've got to deal with. This is who I am. I can't right now be what I'm not, but this is what I give you, Almighty mm-hmm. God. In trust, I entrust my life to you. And then let the scripture says, let the potter mold the, mm-hmm. the mold the clay. You know?
And it's very painful, but it's all worth it.
Because what keeps us moving, what keeps mm-hmm. us persevering is that we've experienced, we know. And this is what keeps us in the work of life, mm-hmm. you know, making the sacrifice. And even if it is, I look at my mother who raised 8 children and all that, and she's in this stage of her life where her body is broken as it is. You know, why is Geraldine not here, you know? Because her body is broken as well. And, you know, there's a whole segment of the population, and we're all destined for that.
We're moving that towards that.
But it's then to take that mm-hmm. time, that space, that reality, and you know, offer that to God. Perhaps, as we so often say in the church, you know, to offer it up mm-hmm. for the certainly the world is in need, yes. right? Of our prayers, our sacrifices, our sufferings. You know, for the it's our sharing in the suffering of Christ, in the sufferings of Christ, as St. Paul says, so that, you look at the world, you look all around, and you see, I was reading today that, you know, the bodies of young children have been washed ashore on the rivers, the Rio, the rivers right. of
The border.
The border. Mm-hmm. You look what's going on in the Middle East, in Israel, and Palestine, and Ukraine, what's happening in our own city of Chicago. Our own city
violence,
of Chicago,
yeah.
the violence. You know, you don't have to look far. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. It's on our doorstep. There's a lot of suffering, yeah. a lot of confusion. But we have to, like Kateri mm-hmm. Tikakwitha, we got to persevere mm-hmm. in keeping the faith. And knowing, and what keeps us in this work of God is knowing that the best is yet to come. Mm-hmm. That there will be, as she experiences this transformation in death as a sign to the living, mm-hmm. that, you know, she's not defeated. She was never defeated. And by the grace of God and her humility, thank God for her mother mm-hmm. who gave her the faith, she lived it. And so God can, you know, through her, say to all of us that, you know, this is where you want to be, because this is where I am. And yes, of course, the best is yet to come. So, but we need that space. Yeah. We got to create the sacred space.
And the victory is His. You know, when we're suffering, it's an opportunity for us to, like you said, offer it to Him for the sufferings of others, for our own sufferings too, but for the sufferings of others. We're all in it together.
You know, even to stop and think that, okay, whatever it is I'm suffering right now, whether it's in the mind, whether it's in the body, whether it's in the soul, whether it's in the spirit, whatever it may be, physical, psychological, spiritual, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. how many others are going through the same mm-hmm. thing?
Or even more.
Or even more. in many cases more.
It's more.
So it's we're all in this together, and it's pulling away into this sacred space as she did, Kateri Tekawitha, finding this out of the way chapel where she could commune with God, imitating the life of Jesus, that we discover what it is we have to give others. And we don't have to worry about what it is we give. We just naturally give because it's a God working in us and through us. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break here. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You're invited to St. Stan's Restoration Dinner Dance, held on Friday, July 18th at 7 p.m. at the Chateau Ritz, 9100 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. This exciting event will support the continuing restoration of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, home for Catholics of Chicago since 1867. Open 24 hours for prayer and celebrating the Mass in three languages. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. For complete details and to purchase tickets online, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Join us for St. Stan's Restoration Dinner Dance, Friday, July 18th at 7 p.m. at the Chateau Ritz, 9100 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles.
Hello, I'm Takesha Mache Kizart, and you are listening to The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you will help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we celebrate today the feast of Kateri Tekakwitha. We were talking about the sacred space,
the sacred
how she found.
Space
that's I love that about her life, because I think that's what gave her the... That from there, she got the grace to do what she had to do. But you were talking during
the break.
Yes,
Father, how you mentioned the importance and how it's a blessing to have the church, St. Stan's, open 24 hours for Eucharistic adoration. And today I had a phone call from... a young man who comes to adoration every day, and he says, I thank God, what a blessing St. Stan's is to everybody to have that opportunity to come and have the encounter with Christ, and somebody else even received in the mail, thanking for that opportunity to have to come to God and just to be in His presence. It's truly a blessing.
Do you remember the probation officer?
Yes.
This is a beautiful story. I mean, we have so many stories. It's not like we've got droves of people coming through the doors of the church, but we do have. But the doors are open, and
that's right.
Especially there's certain times a day when there are more than a handful of people in prayer, and it's a beautiful thing to see, especially around the time of confession.
Yes.
But I always remember the story of the probation officer who was. She was doing some work up here, right?
In
the neighborhood.
Yes, with some juveniles, yes.
Somebody said, well, go to St. Stan's and they might be able to provide community service, right?
Yes.
And she didn't quite make it to the rectory. She ended up going into the church, and
you
know the story better than I.
I know her story because she's been a couple of times in the office when we were arranging the juveniles to come and do their service hours, but... She herself was going through a divorce, a very painful divorce, and she said that she just came into the church, wasn't planning on coming to the church, she just happened because the doors were open, so she came in.
She was actually looking for the rectory, right?
That's right. And she said she went in, and right away there was this presence, and she saw the monstrance, and she said it called her, it beckoned her. She said, I didn't know what it was. I had no idea, so I just went and sat before the image of our Lady, and she said, I just started crying. I don't know how to explain it. I started crying, and she said, and ever since I've been coming back, and I remember her when I first met her, you could tell she was suffering. I mean, you don't ask,
sure,
you know, but you could just feel the pain and suffering that the person's going the interior. And now when you see her, she's glowing. And she says, you know how many people have asked me, what is it that you're doing? Because you're a completely transformed person. And she said, it's Jesus. And she said, I tell everybody to come to St. Stan's and just sit before the Blessed Sacrament and just let him love you. Because she said, I can't understand. And she cries. She gets emotional.
Sure.
She says, it's so beautiful. It's hard. She said, no words can explain what his presence. And she said, I don't know how to explain why when you go in there, you cry. And I said, because that's his love. It's just,
exactly.
He's loving you. And so she tells everybody, just come in and let him love you.
You know, that's a beautiful story. And she, there are so many other stories like that. Mm-hmm. People who just by God's grace happened to walk through these doors. They didn't know what they were going to find.
That's right.
Maybe out of curiosity, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, well, the doors are open, so let's take
open.
A look at this church. And all of a sudden, they're drawn in.
Yes.
Because the Blessed Sacrament is the living presence of which is a mystery, yes. in and of itself, you know. Now Kateri Tekakwitha, so we're talking about Kateri Tekakwitha, whose feast day is today, and she was a Native American, an Indian, Algonquin, but was raised by the Mohawks in the 17th century, and was deeply affected by the faith of her mother, who was a Christian, who was a Catholic. And the mother died when Kateri was only 4 years old, but she had such powerful memories. Even when, and she describes this herself, as when it's described in her life story, that when the Mohawks, because of these smallpox, blamed the white men and didn't want, you know, the Indians to the people of the tribe to have anything. Any kind of relationship with the white men, mm-hmm. quote unquote, she couldn't. But so that means everything, even the faith, because they were the ones bringing the Catholic faith to the Indians. She couldn't. The experience with her mother, mm-hmm. was so positive and so deep, and it left such an impression, as she describes it, that she could not, you know,
live
turn away
it,
from.
Yeah.
No, she couldn't live without it. That's mm-hmm. the way. Yeah, she could not live without it. So even against all the negative, all this hostility against this faith that was brought by the white men, as they also brought smallpox,
yes.
she couldn't live without mm-hmm. the faith. But but as we've been describing, how she would steal away mm-hmm. into the woods, into the forest, and she had built her own little sanctuary, you know, carved the cross into the tree, and it was there that she. That was her. That would be the, you know what, as Jesus says, when you pray, go to your inner chamber,
yeah.
or to your room, shut the door, and pray. Your Father is there. He knows already what you, you don't need to say anything. He already knows what's in your heart. You just need to, as St. Teresa said, you know, when somebody said, well, how do you pray? What do you do when you pray? She said, well, I just let him love me.
Yeah.
I let him love me. And basically, that's what she did. It's just a place where you can pour out your soul and just share with God everything. As I said, you know, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. This is what here's where I'm confused. Here's where it's what's amazing to me even today still, how people think that they can't come to the church or they can't consider themselves a good Catholic or a good Christian if they're not, in essence, flying high. In other words, if I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I've got these defects. I've got these inclinations. These sins, whatever it might be. This ego that I'm fighting against, whatever it might. And so I can't.
Not feeling holy.
Or I'm not. I'm not feeling holy.
I'm not.
Exactly.
That's
there's the mm-hmm. perhaps the devil
mm-hmm.
Creating the impediment, right? The barrier, because it's precisely. Again, remember always, what did Jesus say? Come not for the healthy, but for the sick. Anybody in life, in this mm-hmm. world, is got a bit of a sickness.
Yes.
If it's not a physical ailment, it's the sickness of the mind, or the sickness of the heart, or the sickness of the soul, the sickness of the spirit. But we're, you know.
And then he also said, I didn't come for the saint, but the sinner.
Well,
and
that was the next thing.
That's
you know?
The next thing, because how many times do we feel like, I am just not in a good space. I'm not, right now, I shouldn't even be there because I'm just sinning. You know what I'm saying,
exactly,
Father?
Yeah.
I don't feel holy.
Yeah, but when I came back on Friday, you know, I was so, should I say this on the radio, but, you know, the cab pulled up in the front of the rectory and there were people already out waiting to, you know, they were trying to come to the office. I said, I can't right now. I don't have the psychic energy to deal with anybody, to see anybody, to deal with anybody. So take me around to the back and here I am, you know. But see, you know, even again, let me just say, Jesus did the same thing.
Yes.
He did the same thing. Now, it's not that you don't want to serve the people, but there's a point when we know everything inside us says you got to pull back. Mm-hmm. You got to pull back. There's a time and place for everything,
yes.
right? But this idea of sinful, you know, to say I am sinful, mm-hmm. I am a sinful person,
mm-hmm.
you know, to say that, if somebody were to come up to you and say, you know, let me put it this way, perhaps, people may say, what, and I hear this from people, they say, you know, I'm the only one that goes to Mass, and so when I screw up, or when I get angry, or when I get curt, or whatever it mm-hmm. might be, then everybody goes, ah, there you go, you're a hypocrite, you know, the church isn't doing you any good, look at you, you know, and all that. And, the response is, but what if I didn't go to church?
It'd be even worse.
Exactly, what if I didn't go to church?
Well, that's why I go to church, because look what I got to work with.
So this idea that, you know, well, you know, you're all hypocrites and all mm-hmm. that, well, you know what? It's we're here because we recognize mm-hmm. the need for God, mm-hmm. and we know that we can't do it ourselves, and that we do come with a sincere desire, with an intent to grow, right? To allow God to take this and try to soften some of these rough edges. And again, it's a work of a lifetime. It seems like, you know, we take maybe 5 steps forward, then we take 3 steps backwards, then we take 10 steps forward, then we go 15 steps backward.
That's
you know,
right.
the key is perseverance. Perseverance. And so for somebody to say, hey, you know, you're a sinner, I don't find that offensive. I find it to be true. What did Pope Francis say when somebody, when the first question that was asked of him, who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio,
yes.
and he said, a sinner, you know. So, sick, sinner, broken, but God is good, and God is with us, and God will lift us up. And it's certainly by the grace and the power of the Spirit working in and through the church, the sacraments of the church, and that we humbly and courageously create that space, yes, indeed, we're set free. We don't despair, we're not overwhelmed, but yes, here we are. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. It's good to be back, and we will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is right. It's time to be stirred.